Hi, I'm Gregor Gorzelik from Los Angeles, California.
I'm Erin Seppel from Santa Rosa, California.
I'm Marcus Edwards from Jamestown, New York.
I'm Akina from Southern Oregon.
I'm Bobby Blair from Charlottesville, Virginia, and you're listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 171. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks in the cider trade from around the world. This week, we're touching base with the group that went to Normandy. This was pre-recorded on the bus on our way back to Paris with bellies full of good food and many bottles of good cheer. There'll be more on that coming right up, but first, a bit of news out and about in Ciderville. This podcast goes live on March 13th, and March is known as March Madness Month for people in the U.S. and anyone following basketball tournaments. It's a big time for the NCAA basketball tournament, and they always have this bracket challenge. And a bracket is kind of like a flow chart where you have like one team against another, and everybody kind of votes for their favorite team. And well, they're not voting. They're actually going, competing, actually physically competing against each other until you get the top winner. Well, Matt Windle, who runs the Twitter feed at South Ciders, this is a Chicagoan. I suppose you would call yourself a Matt Windle Chicagoan, wouldn't you, Matt? Maybe not all that, just Matt. Who also, it's his birthday week, so a big tip of the glass for that. He is doing this with cider. This is his second year doing it. I'm hoping he's going to do it next year because it's a bit of work to do. And what he's been doing is kind of having the West Coast cider makers and East Coast, Midwest, and also international. So today is Monday, and it was the voting for like East Coast ciders. So you have something like Eden Specialty Ciders against Stormalong. Eden is based up in Newport, Vermont. That is Eleanor Leger. And Shannon is out in, where are they? Well, they have a new place out in Fitchburg now, Stormalong. I did a chat with both these folks, good people, but you know, now you got to vote for one of them. And I'm not going to say who I was voting for, but I am in on this. It's a lot of fun. Another challenge today was Graf Cider in New York against Spoken Spy. So you have Kyle Shear and his team, his sister out there at Graf. Competing against or for votes with Spoken Spy. I don't even know if these cideries know that it's going on. I have a feeling they do, but I'm not sure. I mean, there's not a lot of votes happening, but it's just enough votes to be making it fun. And this is a great way to inspire people to get involved, to think about the cider that is in their cup. There was a couple challenges last week where it was Once Upon a Tree based in the UK against Rjorklund, which is a Swedish, I would call it an alkopop. It calls itself a cider, but it's not, in my mind. It's not a cider. It's like more water than anything else. So that was kind of like, wow, look at that. And it was a no-brainer, but you know, maybe people don't know that. And they're thinking, oh, I love Rjorklund. That's such a great cider. But hopefully this will inform people. It's one more way to get cider on the map. So cheers to Matt for doing that. We're going to have today, it's going to be Wednesday, the day that this podcast goes live, March 13th. There's voting on Twitter right now for the Western Ciders. I think it's going to be Reverend Nat's against Stem Cider. So that should be interesting. And another lineup. And then on Thursday, the 14th, it's International Cider. So you're going to have something like Domaine DuPont versus Once Upon a Tree. And it's going to get narrowed down, I believe. I don't know how far Matt's going to take this, but we will watch. Again, you want to follow it at South Ciders. That's a Twitter feed, at South Ciders. And the other thing you should know about voting on Twitter, if you do vote, and you need to have a Twitter feed to do that, mine is at Cider Chat. Once you vote, it's anonymous, so nobody sees how you voted one way or the other. So get in on the fun. I love this. This is just one way of this cider enthusiast, and I know Matt is a big cider enthusiast, kind of bringing that to light to promoting it. So why not get involved? Don't take it too hard. Just if you're not on the winning side of the bracket, it's just next year, just rally the troops. And I think that one thing I believe that this is doing is showing that you got to be promoting yourself. You can't just like just do your cider. It would be nice if you could do that, just like with Cider Chat. I can't just put out the podcast without doing mega amount of promoting to let people know that this podcast exists. And this is kind of a little good nudge to say, hey, you know, we can't just sit on the bar stool and just take it in stride. So thank you for cider enthusiasts like at South Ciders for making this happen. Again, do the voting this week, and you know it'll be happening next year in March. So stay tuned for that, and I'll try to give you a shout out earlier on to let you know the voting happens then. A chance to listen to episode 168, Barrel Aging Cider Inspiration with Ryan Monkman. That was pre-recorded at CiderCon 2019. Ryan is based up in Ontario in Prince Edward County. That's on the north shore of Lake Ontario. And he is just a whiz on this stuff. I mean, there is nobody talking about barrels and sharing information like he is doing. And he's just a treasure trove. You know that the dude is out there speaking to the makers. He's bringing in his wine background, his current cider background, and really creating an amazing profile of cider. But more importantly to this particular chat is all the information that he was sharing. Well, when I recorded that, he went through the whole workshop, and then he stayed longer and had a Q&A. And I have that recording, too. So that is now up for patrons of this here podcast. It's 40 minutes of amazing information, everything on getting into cleaning barrels, malolactic fermentation, when to get your cider out of the barrel, the difference between oak chips and oak dust. It just goes on and on. It's probably like 20, 25 different topics that he covered. Patrons of Cider Chat via the Cider Chat Patreon page were given a password to be able to unlock this bonus content. And it's really easy to become a patron, and I'd really encourage you to do so because, one, you're supporting this podcast, which relies on listener support to produce a weekly content show with so much information with people from all over the map in Ciderville. And there's different tiers. So check that out at the Cider Chat Patreon page. And you could join the likes of some recent patrons who just signed up. I mean, it's been really sweet to get these folks coming in. And I want to read you a really interesting email I just received from Don, who became a patron. So let me pull that up here. He writes, I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of months and have really enjoyed it. I'm somewhat of a podcast junkie, and with so many choices, I have become somewhat snobbish in my selections pertaining to content and quality. At the time of signing up as a supporter, I had never even tasted hard cider. I'd visited an orchard cidery the day before and had purchased a few bottles, but hadn't yet tried them. I tried one Sunday evening, the sweetest one that they offered, and frankly didn't like it. I guess I was hoping for a regular sweet cider taste. Now, I just want to stop there for a moment because I think this is really classic, and if you're a commercial maker, something to think about. In the years that I was teaching cider making 101, you know, baseline cider, introducing to a public at that point who didn't even know what cider was. I mean, we're, you know, talking in the early days in the U.S., 20 plus years ago, I always made sure that I had that sweet mead yeast that I made with my cider. I made a little bit of what I like to call a sizer because I added a wee bit of honey, not a lot. And so it wouldn't take over that classic sweet cider apple juice taste that all of us are used to getting as a kid, going to the orchard and just gobbling back. And it was unfermented, of course. So I always try to, as an introductory cider for newbies, is not to floor them, but to give them something that they could kind of anchor onto with a childhood memory. And I think that's what maybe Don was looking for versus a top-over, cloyingly sweet cider. I could be wrong. I highly doubt it. And I think that is a good cider, that kind of profile of maybe a little bit of a sizer, because the honey really melds so nicely with the apple to have at every bar, cider bar or orchard-based cider, to just bring people to that side to then further go deeper, because in time they'll become really big fans of a dry, still cider. So put that in your hat. Anyways, moving on, he writes, I don't like beer, have never tried wine or any spirit, so I'm sure that I'm not your typical listener. He writes, I do love hearing about the process, science, and interaction with the barrels, if used, and the orchards. The orchards are what took me to your podcast in the first place. I recently bought some land that is a couple hours from my house and hope to plant some trees and possibly have a pick-your-own orchard someday with both eating apples and cider apples. Yay! Thank you very much for your podcast. Your time and quality of shows that you put out are very much appreciated. Well, thank you for taking the time to write, Don, and to become a patron. That means a lot to me. And it's good to know what your focus is. This time of year, it is pruning season. Early March is where we go out. We start pruning. And it is a time to really start checking in on your apple trees, making sure that the critters, the little subnuvians that live underneath the snow, if that's the area where you are at, haven't girdled your tree. So maybe you need to put a little bit more fencing around, a little cage around the bottom trunk of the tree, checking out for any kind of, you know, health of the tree overall. So this is the season of the orchard, in my spot of Ciderville at least, March. So enjoy that, and I'm really stoked to hear that we are getting folks excited about planting cider apples. Of course, we also need eating apples. Of course we do, right? Because you can't have those cider apples on the dining room table in the same way, chomping them in. All right, so it's all good there. In addition to Don, there is also two other patrons and a third patron who upped their monthly contribution. So this bodes well for Cider Chat. I think people are hearing the call. If you haven't signed up yet, please do go to the Cider Chat Patreon page. There's a link at ciderchat.com. As many regular listeners know, last September I led the Normandy Cider Tour via Totally Cider Tours. This is a new venture I have opened up, and in 2018 we saw both the Normandy trip and the New England Cider Tour. In just a few weeks, I'll be in Monterey Bay, California, with another amazing group of cider tourists, a couple returning from Normandy. So I'm from that particular trip. So I'm just beside myself because we're kind of setting up what one tour member said was an alumni to Totally Cider Tours. And I dig that. And we're building this archive of experience and recordings too, because, you know, I am a podcaster, so I always have my recorder out there as I did in France. So this week I am featuring the folks who are on the Totally Cider Tour. We were on our way back to Paris after a week filled of amazing travels. And I thought, well, why don't I sit down and ask some questions? So you're going to hear a bit of background noise because we're in the bus. And I'm not sure why, because I am not a sound engineer. I'm just doing the best I can. But because I had to increase the volume, I, in turn, while I was editing, it seemed to increase the background noise of this motor coach that we were in. I just want you to know, it's not that lout at all on the motor coach. It's probably the most dreamiest ride I've ever been in, kind of like being in your own limo with a full-on bathroom and a giant cooler and a fun group of people. So we're traveling along, heading back to Paris. That morning we had been in Carouge at a castle and sitting in the orchard, and we were all just, I think, well satiated, maybe a little bit giggly, and just full of so much cider love. And I thought, what better than to hear from these folks on why you might want to consider taking a Totally Cider tour and what they found was really extraordinary in Normandy. It was informative for me too. So let's head to that right now and take it away. You'll hear each of the tour group member introduce himself and talk a little bit about their experience in Normandy, France, on the Totally Cider Tour in 2018.
Hi, I'm Gregor Gorzelik from Los Angeles, California, and Normandy was such an amazing adventure, tasting through the orchards, pulling apples off the ground, pears off the ground, and tasting such wide variety of flavors, tannins, really experiencing the spitters, if you will, but finding them utterly fascinating because they had so much flavor, just you couldn't keep it in your mouth for all that long. To all the different flavors that you may taste in the ciders, but tasting in the apples and the pears. And then also just the wide variety of ciders and poires, from the different makers. Some are super refined and some are very farmhouse and very earthy. What was eye-opening was, I think, some of the, just the facilities, the making facilities, and some of them, were well-financed, and others were strictly farmhouse operations in a barn and very kind of bootstrapped. Yet they made awesome cider, or awesome Calvados, and that was really neat to see. But also what was... I guess I kind of expected this, but how warm everybody is and how inviting they are and how much they wanted to know about us. That was a lot of fun. Very enjoyable. And Normandy is just this beautiful place, and highly recommend coming back. A lot of it is... it's learning other people's techniques, and I think as a winemaker and a cider maker, you're always asking people how they do things. Even here on the bus with fellow cider makers, I just got to have a conversation of how we approach, ciders and wines and stuff like that, and differing methods. And it's just great to, hear and see how these other cider makers do this, with limited resources or not limited resources, and just to see the breadth of experience and how they approach stuff, whether it's wood fire stills or natural gas-fired stills. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was really neat to see. Really neat. Would I recommend the Total Cider Tour? I absolutely would. And why? Because if you have any little interest in cider, it's a great way to expand your knowledge with people of the same interest and passion. This group here was absolutely fascinating, and it was everybody as weird and obsessed as I am about apples and about cider and about fermenting, and all we do is talk about technique and how we do this and how we do that, and it's just a great bonding experience, and everybody's super cool. And you know, not have ever been on a tour before. I didn't know what to expect, and you know, if anything, I was a little nervous about that. But it immediately went away when I met everybody. And Rhea, you did an amazing job of bringing people together. Just you know, the public and the makers, you know, and utilizing your connections and contacts. And our tour guide Pamela was the best. So, and even the bus driver, Eric, is amazing. And, you know, so it's his family just bombing around Normandy. I guess I shouldn't say that. but just kind of running around, you know, this Jeu de Vrie to bastardize the French. And, you know, just experience the whole, you know, with the countryside, what it has to offer, which is amazing. So. It was an awesome week.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
My pleasure. My absolute pleasure.
Very proud to be the you know to be here, and you know very happy that I was able to make it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Representing America pretty well too,
yeah.
Huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Especially being the first people at that Poirier Museum.
Yeah.
That kind of blew their minds. Had a group of Americans were there. Like they said, the first Americans, which is kind of hard to believe, but there you go. That they knew of.
But, you know, as I think it's, we're kind of ambassadors to a lot of people, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, I expect some of these farmers don't, you know, get a lot of visitors, and especially Americans, crazy Americans coming and peppering them with detailed questions.
Right, we just don't want to taste their product.
Yeah, yeah, we want to ask them questions and figure out what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Smell their barrels.
Right.
I mean, I think that's always something that really surprises me coming here is each maker that you go to, and when you go into their particular barn, not all the barns smell the same.
No.
You know, Patrice, you know, we went into his barn and those big giant barrels standing in that really narrow passage we were all squeezed into, and the etching on the barrels telling you how old they were. Like,
and it smelled like cheese.
It smelled like cheese. And I was like, I said, I was craving cheese then.
Yeah.
Like, I really wanted to just, like, sit there in there, which I know wouldn't be really necessarily good to sit there for a long time because it's kind of, you know, funky in there. But I wouldn't have to because all I have to do is just grab his bottle, go sit outside in his beautiful orchard on the hill, and eat some really great French cheese. It's just, oh, it just takes you there. And that smell is still in my nostrils. You know, it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
That is just priceless. And what I'm really happy everybody got a chance to experience.
Yeah. And it wasn't just cider. I mean, that was the great thing. It was the food. It was the sights and the sound. So it's not
the sheep walking.
Oh yeah, down the street
from Mount Saint Michel down the street in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And those I don't know, mother sheep with their little lambs just out in the middle of nowhere walking on the street.
And I had sheep dung on my shoes for the next day or two.
You don't get that in L.A.
Yeah, I know.
You know, in L.A.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
I'm Marcus Edwards from Jamestown, New York. And what surprised me in Normandy was all the stone buildings, and I was just fascinated in how they attached the stones in the walls and how they used iron on a lot of the windows and doors to attach and make things open and close. And I learned a lot of details about cider making, which I'm not going to make cider, but it was really fascinating to me because it showed me the detail that these men in France go through to make a
and women
and women. Yeah, there were men and women, basically. And to go through to make cider. I think that was just really surprising to me. And I would definitely recommend this trip for somebody that was interested about learning about cider, maybe becoming a cider maker themselves. But either way, whether you're going to become a producer of cider or just a home brewer or somebody that just likes to drink it like myself, it's a very enjoyable trip, and I would recommend it to anybody.
I'm Akina from Southern Oregon. What surprised me in Normandy was how friendly most of the local people were and how hospitable and welcoming they were for not having had any experience of having people come into their space on a tour like we had, as well as just like American people coming like recently to just see cider. I feel like I learned an immense amount about the process. I feel like I have like a complete understanding now about not just the difference between what's happening in Normandy compared to what we do in the States, and there's so much variety that happens everywhere. And just realizing how much of that is knowledge passed generationally. I felt very special and unique to this part of the world. I would completely recommend this store to anybody interested in cider or just wanting to see the countryside and experience the people here.
You weren't drinking cider.
I wasn't drinking. So having said that, I still enjoyed myself, and I felt like I participated in all the other ways that were possible. I look forward to coming back here because of this. And I also look forward to telling everyone else that I know to come back and do something similar. Because I think this is really, like I said, really special. And this group has been really great.
Right on. That's the way we roll in Ciderville.
I'm David from Charlottesville, Virginia. What I really wanted to experience coming to Normandy was to be able to learn more about how they produce cider here, how they produce poree, and see the facilities that they're making cider in, see the orchards, experience that and smell it, and be able to have a better understanding of what is one of the oldest cider cultures in the world, and just be able to know and learn more about the history behind the cider that they make here. I would absolutely recommend that people come on the Cider Totally Cider Tour with Rhea. The whole week has been very well organized, very well planned. We've been busy, but nothing has ever felt rushed. We felt like we've had plenty of time to do everything that we wanted to do and see everything that we wanted to see, and it's been an absolutely fantastic trip.
Hi, I'm Story from Seattle, Washington. What has surprised me in Normandy is the Poree d'Enfant. It was the best Perry I've had. I did not think of myself as a Perry fan prior to coming to Normandy. It's been really good everywhere, but especially surprising in d'Enfant. Different than anything I've had anywhere else. I would definitely recommend the Totally Cider Tour. This has been an amazing experience, all thanks to Rhea. It's a trip that you could try to plan on your own, but it would not, if I did came out and did this on my own, it would not have been anything close to as awesome as an experience as this has been. Rhea really feel like all of the places we've been have given us such a good variety, and you've it's like you've curated all of our stops for us, and it's been really, really nice. It's been a good variety. Every cider maker has been very different and unique, and it's been really, really cool to see all of the different methods and hear all the different opinions, sometimes contrasting, on the right way to make cider and pour it.
Good. How many bottles are you bringing home, by the way?
Oh, I forget. I did a count.
You have those big cork and cage bottles? Because those weigh the most.
I only have two of those.
Okay.
Of the big ones.
Yeah. Lots of Calvados.
And the half size.
Half bottles. That's smart.
And then I have the small ones from...
Agat?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Small, little, tiny bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant for the maker to do that.
Drink all of the big
drinking.
Ones on the bus.
I know. I'm impressed, girl. You can kick it back. That's pretty good.
No, I was sharing.
I know you're sharing. Everybody's sharing. No doubt about that. Yeah, I know. With all the cider we'd have at lunch, and all the cider we'd have at dinner, it'd be like... And then we come on the bus and drink more.
And still...
I know. You know, that's what's so amazing to me about it, is that of all the drinking that was going on, there was no intoxication, no one getting sick, no hangovers. The next day, like, I can't get up because I didn't hear that once. I drank too much last night. And we've been drinking since the morning into it, because it's all sessionable, you know, like 4%. 5%, maybe a little bit higher, but not bad.
Yeah. I'm Matt from Houston, Texas, and Rochester, New York. I guess what has surprised me most about this trip to Normandy is simplicity and the approach to cider making, and how the cider makers here really let the unique characteristics of the fruit express themselves in the cider with very minimal manipulation. Mm-hmm. I learned a number of things here, some technical, which will hopefully allow me to try to make a cider in this style. But I think also, this trip has, I guess, not learned, but allowed me to experience what people use the term orchard-based in the United States to describe their sort of way that, you know, they... use the orchards as a basis for making their cider, and I think Normandy and Brittany is sort of the epitome of that style of cider making, and so you can read about it, but to actually be here and see it and feel it in the area is very unique, and I guess that is the reason that I would recommend this trip to anyone interested in that style of cider making, and specifically French cider making.
Hello, I'm Al Sachs from Amherst, Massachusetts. And what surprised me in Normandy is the incredible beauty of the countryside. It's very rural, it's rolling, there's livestock, horses, cows, ducks, geese, and apple trees scattered all over the place, many of which are shaped so that animals can graze underneath them. That was really wonderful. What I learned is that I've got a long way to go before I get to the level of the cider makers in Normandy. And I learned that I need to be telling people about how great Calvados is, because if we don't drink more of it, and that shouldn't be a hard thing to do, we will see the family Calvados makers here in Normandy going by the wayside. I would totally recommend this trip, and if anybody has any questions about whether there's language will be a problem, or any kind of difficulties in traveling the country, going on this trip has made it incredibly easy. So even those of us who only know un peu François, which is, of course, a bad way of saying a little French, would feel totally comfortable on this trip. And I'd encourage you to take this trip. And if this is an example of what any of the other trips that Totally Cider Tours is developing, I'd go on those too.
Hi, I'm Al from West Virginia. What has surprised me in Normandy is the warmth of the people. I knew the French people would be kind, but they've surpassed all of my wildest dreams. Learned a lot more about French history, as well as developed a better appreciation for sort of the countryside and the people that live there and work. I'd recommend the cider tour for a number of reasons. It's a nice way to meet some new friends, and kind of broaden my network of cider lovers, and continue to learn about making quality cider. One of the meaningful things for me was you know, there's all the controversy in the United States now about you know, America's role in the world, kind of thing, and it was nice to come here and be reminded that you know, in the past, sort of our efforts to create a new order out of what was chaos in collaboration with the rest of the world really meant a lot. And so for me, that was sort of a personal thing. Was a nice reminder. And then the other thing that I really enjoyed, there's a lot of things I really enjoyed, but the other thing that I really enjoyed was meeting Eric and being around him a little bit, because
the driver.
No, well, this driver, our driver as well. He's a good guy, and I just get a good vibe from him. But also Eric Bordelais, just that, you know, I guess in some respects had kind of expected a prima donna, but spending some time with him kind of got an appreciation for sort of his, I guess I'd say, artistic soul, you know, and like a lot of good artists, they're a little bit tortured, you know, you know, but I'm really drawn to that kind of personality, you know, that is creative, but is a little tortured, so yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, that's so, well said.
So, anyway, but
cool.
But anyways, it was very good, very meaningful. Now, if I can just get this phone card thing, then
the final days of your thing, and you will. Right. We're going to be stopping and getting some coffee up here.
Yeah.
As we move on to Paris.
I'm Anders. I'm from Williams, Oregon. What surprised me about Normandy was how wide open it felt and beautiful, and there's wild apple trees everywhere you look that are hundreds of years old. It's just amazing, beautiful country, and the cider makers were all really friendly and welcomed us completely. Really felt just true friendship and warmth from those people. So it's just really surprising to just kind of feel so friendly. Definitely recommend this tour. We had a great group. Ria did a great job bringing us all together and showing us a lot of stuff. We tried a bunch of different kinds of ciders. They were all great. And I would do it again next year. So, yeah, I love Normandy. and French cider was a great. What else can I say?
Is there any bottles open? Can I have some more?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Bobby Blair from Charlottesville, Virginia. What surprised me in Normandy is the very different ciders that are available, even though a lot of producers are using the same apples and some of the same techniques to a degree, but every cider is slightly different. Even the Poirets are different too, given the different regions. I learned a lot about how just the different techniques of things are made and the different styles that are put into it between something that's more like a treated like a wine versus something that's treated like farmhouse cider, which makes a whole lot more sense now than it used to. And I just think the whole experience was amazing. But I recommend the cider to totally cider tour. I would most definitely 100%. Because you're going to learn things that you're going to see things that you've never seen before, and it's not just about trying ciders and experiencing the beautiful atmosphere. It's taking in every sense that you have. And the second you walk onto these domains, you're just to sensory overload of sights and sounds and smells, and picking up the apples off the ground at their like most perfectly beautiful ripeness, and trying them, and then trying the cider that these apples are made into, and actually just totally understanding cider and Poiré and Calvados and Pommeau from a completely new world and frame that, unless you're here, you may never get to experience. So if you have the chance, you should definitely do it.
I got the giggles
now. All right, too much cider, maybe not enough. So I can't imagine being on a tour I've never done before, any sort of travel tour, with like more interesting, cool people who totally get cider and geek about it and talk about it all day long into the night, and get up the next morning and do the same thing again. And
without boring each other.
Right.
Or being too geeky for those who aren't so geeky. And Taryn's raising her hand for that. I'm kind of with you, Taryn.
This is part of why I came back here, to redo mine.
Yeah,
okay.
Well.
Or to do mine.
Yeah. It's
to comment more on that.
We all had good conversations. And I feel like I made friends that I hope would stay in contact with. Because like we went on this journey together, none of us knowing what to expect. And here we are on the sadly to say, the last little leg of the tour. And it's a little bittersweet, or bittersharp, if you will, about this whole experience. It was great. And just going in with all of us into seeing, hey-o.
Here comes the bottle. Erin's coming back with the bottle.
Yeah, she wanted to give me some more.
A little station break.
That's
here,
right.
Which is not easy to do. Their technique on doing on the bus here
is
pretty darn good.
At this point, I think so.
We've gotten really good at this.
Right, right.
With libation.
The alcohol depository.
He was getting a little dry.
We fuel this bus with cider.
Oh, for sure. And not really any drops spilled on the ground. I think we did a pretty good
job. It doesn't smell like cider in here. It smells like the farms that we walked on.
Yeah.
And some of the profiles of the cider, but not because we spilled any, which
no,
is incredible.
No, well, we
because it could smell like an SE.
I mean, that's a crime. And we were very good about that. I feel like the Normandy police would have pulled us over had we, you know, spilled some and said, you really shouldn't waste our delicious product.
Right.
But
cider police.
Right. But I really liked, I felt like many times on this tour, we were, you know, for a snapshot of time, we weren't just visiting a cidery. We were being welcomed into this family's lives. And with, like, huge welcoming arms to experience not just what they produce, but how they produce it and the love that they put into it. And you could taste every bit of it. It was just an incredible experience that I would probably not be brave enough to... I would not have been brave enough to do on my own. So...
alcohol apostle.
I just want to make sure that nothing.
Terrence had another sip because she was getting a little parched there.
I just want to make sure nothing goes to waste.
Well, that's good because we are not wasteful people in Ciderville.
No,
not at all. All right. Okay, Taryn, did you want to say a little bit more? Okay. All right, moving it out. Okay, and Matt's doing a little support there with that bottle of Calvados.
I'm Taryn from Rochester, New York. What surprised me in Normandy the most is the generosity and the loveliness of the people both on this tour, as well as the French folks that live in the Normandy area. It's been really great, the diversity of this group particularly, and the diversity of the people we met in Normandy, but that we all kind of came together with a love for many different reasons of cider. So that it really surprised me. For somebody who's here as a supporter more than someone who wants to make cider, it was really nice to feel welcomed and brought into the group, both by the folks here on the tour with us as well as the people who we met. I think, you know, like others have said, the being welcomed into their family and their homes, and most of these cideries were where these people lived, and they brought us in and they welcomed us and they shared with us, and that kind of openness really surprised me. Though the point of kind of coming on this tour is to learn about cider and process and making and different types, which was very informative for me, being kind of a newcomer to this. I was not expecting the livelihood of what these people do. You know, I think so many of us have something else that we have income with, but that they really take major care and concern and thoughtfulness about the trees and the land and the apples and their environment, as well as thinking about 100 years from now, you know, their kids' kids and how cider could be a part of their lives, hopefully forever. But they think about that very seriously, I think. So it was interesting to see that kind of side of it. Was not expecting that, because where, at least in my experiences in the United States, it's like you have the cider bar, you have the apple farm, you have the bar or the farm, you have the cidery or the farm, and there's, I think it's growing that people have both sides of that. But it was really fun to see for me too, and interesting to see just kind of like the totality of what cider means to these people. Would I recommend the Totally Cider Tour, and why? For sure, and not just to those who are gung-ho about cider, but those who are the supporters, those who are the brothers, the sisters, the new to the field or new interest. I felt like there was really something for everybody. There was an openness here that was brought by the diverse people that made it more of a like a familial setting while we were here. But there really is something for everybody. So just do it. Just do it.
Well, hello, I'm Erin Supple from Santa Rosa, California. And what surprised me about Normandy was the difference in each maker's philosophy and in their style, the setup, and then the resulting end product as well. Even in a kind of a highly regulated, you know, production. And so Rhea's passion for cider, your friendly and confident personality, kind of helped to gain and garner the respect of the makers. And without that, you know, we wouldn't have been able to get into the back doors that you opened up to talk with the makers, visit these producers, and to taste these products. And I think that is one of the biggest things, you know. And I had some specific needs on the trip, and both you and Pamela, our tour guide, just not only met but exceeded my needs, which was really important to just feel comfortable. And
you need to have plenty of cider.
To have
breakfast, lunch.
Right. Yeah, I needed to make sure that that I was fully maliced, palmed.
You were palmed, and then some. It was with the palm.
It was like V8. It's like I had to have a V8, but instead it was with the palm fruit.
No kidding.
Yeah, and really this was just the right mix of travel, of you know, being able to savor the time with the makers and in the orchards. It's, you know, history and food, and of course all the beverages. So
all the beverages. Was there any other beverage besides cider?
Let's see, cider.
Well, we did stop for an espresso.
Yeah, the coffee.
We need that a little bit.
The Calvados, the Palmo, the Palmels, the Le Sushin.
Le Saucé.
Le Saucé.
That's come from that specific cidery, so they call it Le Saucé, but it's an aperitif or an aperitif.
Yeah.
And their own little private recipe that we squeezed out of it.
Oh,
didn't
I know.
We?
Well, oh, yeah, that's when all these palates come together.
I know. We're all smiling, happy Americans.
The magic. You know. The magic.
And then
that
you start
comes
having
out.
Some more cider, and all of a sudden, like the tongue starts getting looser, and then it's like.
And then all of a sudden, you're being called Aaron Legs.
Aaron Legs. Yeah, should we talk about that? With Eric Bordelay, there's a quite, you know, really marker that happened during our cider dinner last night with Eric. As he was rolling a glass of a perry, it was like a ice perry.
Correct, yeah.
That he made. Wasn't telling us that it was a perry, making us guess each vintage, like we would know what was going on in 2011. Come on, Aaron.
Yeah.
Anyways, and he's rolling back, and he was saying, yes, and he wanted to see the Aaron. But we thought he was saying Aaron, or...
Well, he said legs.
Legs, yeah. Legs. But then how did it evolve to Aaron?
I think I said, he said, you know, you want to see the, and I said legs.
Yes.
And I think I said something about how, you know, how would you say it? And he said, yes, legs.
Yes.
And I think he just said, you know, Aaron legs. And I said, oh, no, you don't.
No, you said, not my legs.
Not my legs.
No,
you wouldn't want my legs.
My legs. You want my legs. And you said hairy legs. And then he replied, Aaron.
Aaron legs.
When he said hairy, it sounded like Aaron. And you said, that's my name.
Yeah.
Right? That's, I think, how it
I
came
think
about.
He asked, what's your name?
What's your name?
Aaron legs.
Aaron legs. And then it became Aaron legs.
Yeah,
so if you see on a bottle of Eric Bordelay to look for... In any of his marketing in the future, it's going to be Aaron spelled E-R-Y-N.
You will know. You have the inside.
Right.
Yeah, of that that knowledge, yeah.
Which is what happens. I mean, all the best ideas really happen sometimes over a glass of cider.
Oh, yeah.
Good conversation.
Yeah, and just being able to open up in a kind of easy fashion. Truly just access to these makers to be able to talk. And that, again, you know... The quality of who you are and who they know you to be, and the people that listen to you and that decided to come on this tour, everybody had different questions. Everybody brought different things to the table, which I think just added to
made it.
The, yeah, it
a
just
full glass.
Yeah, it was the best blend. It was the best.
The
it was the best blend and vintage.
I'll tell you, there was no really. Sharp acid at all. It was like a perfect like wee bit of that, but not too much.
Really well balanced.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
takes a whole bunch of apples to make that perfect cider.
Yeah,
we had the perfect.
We did. We didn't have to let it age or anything.
No,
it was
no,
just
we just like
slipped right into it
because after that first cider, I can't believe how much cider we drank and did not have that like. You know, it was sessionable all the whole time and able to just
fun. And I mean, some, you know, again, there's a little bit of sweetness to it, but it's not excessively so. So, you know, lower alcohol, lower sweetness. Mm. You know, you're not
the
drinking.
Full mouth flavor.
Oh,
yeah. Bazanga.
Yeah. Kablam! It's like one of those Batman comics with just like the hitting. Kablow! Bam! Woof! In your mouth. Just full-fledged frontal in your mouth.
I know. Well, you've been an absolute pleasure to get to hang out with you. I've really enjoyed getting to know you.
100% with you, too. Yeah, I really appreciate everything and just your, again, just your ability. You're so comfortable with every different kind of personality. Oh. You know, you kind of know how to read the situation and know maybe what's going to work and what's not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you roll with whatever punches come. And, I think that's
because I know, because I'm martial arts, I know how to deal with punches.
Yes.
There were no punches on this tour.
There was, absolutely just to no be punches. Clear, there were nobody no got punches. Punched unless it was a big punch of delicious flavor in your mouth.
There we go.
Hello, I'm Michael from Los Angeles, California. What surprised me most about being in Normandy was how open all the people were here and how present they were with what they were doing. It really surprised me. These were people who weren't like daydreaming about doing something else. You know, I'm from LA. There's a lot of people in Los Angeles who are daydreaming about being an actor or a writer or a chef, you know, or a... just something that they aren't already. Now, the people in Normandy, I found, they were apple farmers, they were cider makers, they were pear growers, they were milk farmers, and that's who they were, and they were unapologetic about it, and you could see in their faces how much they loved doing what they were doing. And that that really sort of, that surprised me, in a way, coming from where I come from, in Los Angeles. I just loved how present they were, how real they were. It was really fun.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought that was very interesting. That connection was interesting to me.
Huge.
This connection both with the fact that, you know, the Americans and the British and the Allied forces had liberated France through Normandy and come through, but also in the fact that, you know, much of Normandy had been destroyed by the Allies who were fighting the Germans.
And
you know,
yet, still,
they would say, oh, you know, we... this city was 80% destroyed. But despite that, you know, I don't know, but it was an interesting conversations with them.
I'm just happy to hear that you were surprised. I mean, it's cool.
I was surprised.
It's a cool thing, you know, to like that's a beautiful thing.
I think part of the reason I was just surprised is because where I'm from, people aren't that, like, everyone's kind of fake about it. Oh. Like, their job is to entertain you.
I see.
You know, their job, my job as as an actor is to entertain you, or my job as an actress at a restaurant serving you in a is to entertain you, sort of. It's not who they really are. Not who they really want to be. This was very authentic to me.
Cool. That's well said.
The people were very authentic.
Yeah, that's well said.
I enjoyed that.
That's exactly right. Yeah, they were.
I also thought it was really interesting about having trouble trying to figure out how to put it into words, but, you know, it's going into Domfront and seeing this pear culture, and the fact that we went to the Poire Museum, and you had asked, you know, how many tour buses have come through here, and they were like, none, and how many Americans have come by here, and they said, you're the first. You know, that blew my mind. It was like, what? Why is nobody coming to visit this amazing culture? Because this is, the area of Domfront was a unique culture, a unique part of the world. That culture, growing those pears and making Poire, is only exists in Domfront, right? Unique.
Yeah.
And yeah, I couldn't believe that no one has discovered it, because it was delicious. I mean,
should we tell anybody, Michael? Maybe we should not talk about this. I don't know.
I'm going to tell people about it.
All right, okay.
I'm going to tell people about Poire.
Good. Well, good. You should, because it's important that those trees get saved.
Yeah,
preserved,
right. They were gorgeous.
And supported. The museum gets supported too.
Yeah. Giant trees. I mean, they were just awe-inspiring. These tall, like 100 feet tall, filled with pears. You know, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. And I would recommend the Totally Cider Tour to all those spouses of cider enthusiasts, for I am a spouse of a cider enthusiast. I mean, I enjoy drinking cider, you know, from time to time, but I wouldn't call myself an enthusiast, you know, who's looking to learn how to make cider, or, you know, I'm the other half of someone who's very interested in cider. But yeah, on this tour, I found it was fascinating. I mean, I enjoyed meeting all the people. The people were great. The tour was well constructed. Our tour guide, Pamela, was fantastic. She had everything arranged for us. We're lacking for nothing. She was most concerned with that we were enjoying our time and that we were, I really appreciated that. Everything was on schedule, which I appreciated. And it wasn't just it was totally cider. We had cider everywhere, but interspersed, there's also a lot of history. We went to a castle.
Saint-Michel.
Yeah, we went to Mont-Saint-Michel. You know, these
cemetery.
Historic sites. And there was something for everyone. So
yeah.
I really appreciated that, and I got to learn more about cider, and I have more of an appreciation, I think, than after coming here and tasting it from the source, because I mean it's pretty spectacular out here. If you're the spouse of a cider lover and all you've had is American cider and you find it it's okay but not to your liking, perhaps you like wine more. Perhaps you are more into various spirits. You know, come to Normandy and try their cider, try their Poiret. It may just change your mind.
I'd like to thank Greg, Marcus, Akina, David, Story, Matt, Al, Bobby, and Alan, Taryn, Aaron, and Michael. And also our tour guide, Pamela, and bus driver, Eric. And I want to make mention that Akina and Anders, they had their baby in February. That was why Akina was not inviting during this particular tour. So what did we do? Well, when Etienne Dupont gave us a 45-year-old bottle of Calvados that we took to Mont-Saint-Michel to toast the spirit of Jérôme Dupont, we saved a wee bit and sent it home with she and Anders, so that when their little baby boy Lucien was born in February, this February 2019, we knew she'd be able to have a bit of taste of Normandy. The early bird special for the Normandy 2019 tour, going out on September 22nd and 28th of this year, will be ending on March 31st. So get in on the tour now while you can, and come along on an experience of a lifetime as we go and pull in the sights and sounds and taste and the good people of Normandy and France. Find all that info and more at ciderchat.com, the Totally Cider page. It was so nice listening to all the good friends that I made on the Totally Cider Tour to Normandy in this week's episode. And I hope if you're a commercial maker and you are hosting guests to your cidery, that you got a little bit more info on what really meets that cider tourist now and of the future. There were no professional makers on this trip, only one that was getting into the business. And most of the makers that we visited do not ship to the USA. I think there's a little bit of value for everyone listening to this week's podcast, and certainly to me, because my heart soared meeting all the people along the way and creating so many new friends. This is Rhea Windcaller, signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!